Matt, may the 4th be with you.
No, you're wrong, my friend. Today is the Revenge of the 5th.
Revenge of the 5th, that's true. This is the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout podcast, episode 411. Get all of your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com. Matt, what did you do for May the 4th?
Wait, hold on. I just want to point out that we missed an opportunity with the episode 411.
Because we're here to give you all
the latest 411 on BYU sports.
Dad called. He'd like his jokes back.
Terrible.
It's terrible. You're ruining what could be a good opening. Like you're basically smashing it with a hammer.
What did I do for May the 4th?
Yeah. Do you guys celebrate Star Wars Day?
We didn't do anything like real special for it. I mean, we made some Star Wars puns, as in we repeated the phrase "May the 4th be with you," but.
Okay.
That was basically it.
Well, we are in the midst of a Star Wars movie marathon where we're watching a Star Wars movie every day.
That's amazing. How are you finding time to do that?
Yeah, that's funny. Boy, you're really on one. You're really on one.
Nothing but time.
Yeah, we got plenty of time. So we watched, over the weekend, we watched episodes 1, 2, 3 and Rogue One. And then last night we watched A New Hope. So the perfect one to watch on Star Wars Day, quite frankly. And then
the only one to watch.
Nah, I mean, you could watch Empire Strikes Back or Return of the Jedi. But tonight, right before recording, we watched The Empire Strikes Back. And we'll watch Return of the Jedi tomorrow night. And then the new threequel to do that to as well to finish up. Though... I have to say, I think my favorite character in all of Star Wars is Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Okay, I was a little bit worried you were going to say Jar Jar Binks.
Oh, he's second. I mean, he's a close second.
Of course.
I mean, very close.
Of course he is.
Misa think I like him.
Now, but let me ask you this. Do you like Obi-Wan Kenobi from the prequels?
I'm saying...
From the middle movies?
I'm saying yes. Like the most complete character who like spans multiple sagas, if you will, or trilogies, that's interesting and holds together to me is Obi-Wan.
Interesting.
And even better if you watch the Clone Wars cartoon show. But take that out and just the movies. Ewan McGregor does a great job. It's one of the best parts about the prequels.
He does do a great job. I had just noticed that Disney put out a picture like, kind of promoting, I think, for people, they were trying to get people to do exactly what you're doing with Disney Plus. And what I found interesting was that the Obi-Wan that they put on the poster was Ewan McGregor.
Well, I mean, yeah. Here's the thing. He's still alive, so there's a plus to it. Plus, they are working on a Obi-Wan Kenobi TV series for Disney Plus.
Yeah, and they have all Clone Wars on there too, right?
And that character
is a lot more closely related to the Clone Wars character.
Oh, yeah. Very closely related, both in looks and personality. And on top of that, it's, you know, you can print off that picture and put it in your house and people think you'll have a picture of Jesus. You've seen those, right?
Yes.
It was, I really like, and I love him in the original, right? Alec Guinness's take on it, in all three movies, right? Cause he appears as a Force ghost in Empire Strikes Back and the Return of the Jedi. So, I mean, he does a great job too. So it's like, I know a lot of people have problems with Luke Skywalker in the new movies and don't feel like he's connected. I feel like Obi-Wan is totally connected. I love Obi-Wan in these movies. I think he's great. You know, he's a liar because Kathleen was like, we're watching Empire Strikes Back. And she's like, wait a second. Did anything he said in New Hope, was it true? So to put in your point of view. But no, mostly not. Mostly what he told Luke in that whole opening montage about the Jedi was complete crap. His dad, you know, got killed by Darth Vader. You know, he just lied a lot.
No, that's true.
His dad did not get killed by Darth Vader. His dad is Darth Vader.
Yeah, but I think what he was was saying was the person who his dad was overcome.
No. He said who he betrayed and murdered your father. That's the line. It's a lie, right? Like, it's not true. He didn't betray and murder your father. Darth Vader is your dad. Like, and, you know, Luke's sitting there, and I just watched, you know, Empire Strikes Back, so it's fresh in my mind, but he's sitting there like, Ben, why didn't you tell me, Ben? And my kids absolutely love it when I do my Luke Skywalker impersonation, and now that they've seen that scene again, I'm going to get requests for weeks, which I will honor. It's not true! I mean, it's so over the top. Mark Hamill in that scene is so over the top. It's awesome. It's awesome. All right, but this isn't a Star Wars podcast.
All right.
But in a couple weeks, because we're going to be off next week, but in a couple weeks after I've seen all of them, I'm going to give some thoughts on the entire series. On
this show. I bet you will.
We'll come back and revisit this, because I haven't even seen Rise of Skywalker a second time yet. This will be my second time, which this may tell you about my feelings a little bit. That was the first Star Wars movie that I haven't seen twice in the theater since The Empire Strikes Back, and that's because I was 4.
Hmm. Search your feelings, Adam. You know it to be true.
You know it to be true. All right, Matt, let's hop into the tweet bag.
Tweet bag.
So, Matt, are you missing some baseball?
Sure.
So you can find live baseball now. Actual, real live baseball.
Yeah, I didn't realize this was a thing until we got tweet bag questions on it. I was completely oblivious to this.
So I totally forgot. I've got a game set to record tonight, or I guess it's technically at like 5 a.m. tomorrow. And it's, you know, the Korean Baseball League. And ESPN wisely signed a deal to get this content. Of course, it's in the middle of the night or early mornings for most of us. But they're also rebroadcasting the games later. So who's your Korean team? Who you got?
I have no idea.
All right. Well, let's get to a tweet back question from CoopFan82 on Twitter. And you can tweet at us at BYU_RedShop. He said, true or true, the KBO is fulfilling your need for some live baseball. Nothing like staying up well into the night to get your live sports fix. Can't wait to get the MLB and NBA back again. Hashtag soon, please. Hashtag tweet bag. So I feel like, and then Shane McDougal at McDougal Shane on Twitter says, who is your favorite Korean baseball player? Well, it's too early for me to have a favorite player. But what about a favorite team, Matt? You're Googling the league, aren't you?
What I'm Googling actually is what am I trying to find here? So I spent some time in Korea, very short period of time. I think I took a single trip there I was there for a few weeks, and I bought a hat or two. And so I'm just going to say the hat that I picked out that I liked.
Which team is that?
I think it's the Busan Giants.
Okay.
Which are now what are they? The Lotte Giants? Were they referred to by their sponsor?
Yes, correct. But they're in Busan.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay, you've got a team.
I think that's my team. I think it's the Giants.
You're done. I mean, there's the SK Wyverns. I mean, that's a fantastic name. There's the NC Dinos. That's a thing, right? And then you got a Tigers and a Lions.
The Lions, Tigers, and Bears. Oh, my.
Eagles. The Kiwoom Heroes. The KT Wiz. All I could think of was I thought of several different things. But I thought, nobody beats the Wiz, you know, from Seinfeld. And anyway, interesting thing. And unfortunately, the club I would root for is now defunct since 2008, which is the Hyundai Unicorns.
You owned a Hyundai at one point.
I've owned 2 Hyundais in my life, as a matter of fact.
Well, there you go. There you go.
But they're defunct. So I'm going to go with, I think I was doing some research today. I think I'm going to go with the, I mean, there's the Twins too, the LG Twins. But I think I'm going to go with the Wyverns because the name is cool.
What's a wyvern? I don't even know what a wyvern is.
A wyvern? You don't know what a wyvern is, huh? Well, wyvern is a mythical creature that is like a, it's a bipedal dragon.
Nice. So
it's a kind of dragon.
That's my team right there.
So, anyway, it's not a, it's your team. It's not your team. You're not the Wyverns. That's my team. You can't have that team. You're already right, the Latte Giants.
Latte is a great store. I've been to several of them. And I think I stayed in one of their hotels once.
Well, there you go. All right.
Is that all owned by the same company?
I think so. I mean, yeah, and all these teams in Korea, they're, you know, they're, instead of the city, it's the sponsor's name, right?
Right.
Which is funny to me just because we're so anti that here in the U.S. and everywhere else in the world, it's kind of how it goes, right? It's very common to have the sponsor of the team be highly involved in the team, right? And have the big, you know, the names aren't that, right, in the British Premier League, but then they've got the sponsors instead of the name of the team, it's the sponsor's name on the jersey, right? So anyway,
well, let's be honest, like at the professional level, isn't it a little bit weird for the teams to have mascots?
No.
I just always thought that was weird.
No, you're weird.
Why can't it just be like the, like, I don't know, Samsung baseball club?
You're stupid. Everything you're saying right now is stupid. You don't want the Patriots to be called the Patriots?
Why are they called the Patriots?
Because they're from New England.
So I get like,
where freedom was born, buddy.
Oh, jeez. All right. Well, I guess you answered my question then.
Yeah, I did. All right. The Last Dance. We talked about the ongoing docu-series last week, and we've got another one from Eric. That's at Eric or Eric on Twitter. He says, upcoming Last Dance episodes probably will cover the flu game and the mailman doesn't deliver on Sunday game. Ouch to all you Jazz fans. Other than Danny Ainge, disastrous game six, last minute collapses on Trailblazers and Suns. By the way, Danny Ainge was not responsible for the Trailblazer collapse, okay? Was Stockton or Malone the biggest shrinkage in spotlight, or was someone else? No. They made it to the NBA Finals twice. How can... And got beat by the Bulls, maybe the best team in the history of basketball. How can that be, like, the worst choke game? Or the worst
choke?
We
get really weird around some of these narratives, okay? All of the teams listed here lost to maybe the best or one of the best basketball teams to ever be in the NBA.
The choke is the Sonics, right? Against the Nuggets when they were the first seed and lost to the eighth seed. Am I getting the teams right? That's
a little
choke.
Bit more sense. But losing a game to Michael Jordan and those Bulls in the 90s, that's not a choke.
Well, and listen, Malone did not play great at moments, but he played great that entire season. He won the MVP, and they made it to the finals against a couple other good teams. Yes.
Sometimes you just get beat is my point. Sometimes you just get beat by somebody who's better than you, and it's not because you choked or it's a choke job. Sometimes you just lose.
Well,
sometimes somebody is just better than you are that day, and the Bulls were better across that series, period.
Well, I mean, you got beat by arguably the best basketball player in the history of the world, right? And I know people will argue about that, and we'll get into that actually a little bit here in a second. But I get what people are saying, and it was a crushing defeat, and I was rooting for the Jazz at the time, even though we lived in Massachusetts. I didn't hate the Bulls or anything. I actually have always enjoyed watching Michael Jordan play, and watching this docuseries has been kind of fun to bring that back. Which, by the way, he's kind of a doofus, Jordan, right? Like
he's, but you know what? I'm finding from the he's. I feel like he's less of a doofus than I thought he was. How's that?
I thought
he was worse.
Making fun of Krause's height nonstop. Krause was a doofus too, but I mean,
yes.
But make, I don't know. That leaves a bad taste in my mouth. Like if you were buddies with the guy and you're busting him for his height, it's funny, right? But knowing that they didn't like each other personally, it's not funny, right? It's mean-spirited. And Krauss wasn't the only one. This docuseries has shown it that he made fun of, right? Like, he had an edge that I just probably wasn't real fun to be around, right? You know, and you don't have the same thing. Magic was an all-time great, and you don't have those kind of, so you don't, like, people might say, well, you have to be that way to be great. No, you don't. He could have not busted on Krauss credit, but maybe Krauss deserved it. I don't know. That guy was a moron.
Krauss is not coming across as being very, it's crazy though, because he put that team together. He hired Phil Jackson. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, that's no, crazy. He did a great Krauss job putting that team together.
But he comes across as just crazy.
But like many other executives before him and after him, they forgot the most key part of this. They got freaking lucky, and it was before Krauss was the general manager, right? That Portland didn't take Jordan, right? Yeah. I mean, in the end, the Chicago Bulls did nothing but pick the obvious best player still available in the draft, right? Like, they didn't, and you could even Thorne afterwards in his interviews talking about how, well, you know, he's not 7 feet, but we'll take him. And it's kind of like, what? Like, the Celtics were really good at that time, and Robert Parrish was tall, but he was probably the fourth best player on the team, right? Like, the whole thing is like bizarre to me that at the time there was plenty of evidence that you didn't have to be 7 feet tall to be the best player in the league, right? I don't know. It was a big man league. I get it, but so in the end, Krauss fell to the fact that the NBA, because of how many players you have on a team on the floor at the same time and size of your roster, is a players league. It always has been, and it's always been driven by players, especially after all the expansion. And you couldn't have a, you know, team like the Celtics, right, of the 50s and 60s. So, I don't know. Krauss is an idiot, but I don't know. Jordan comes off kind of doofusy.
But you know what? To see him talk about Pippen the way he does was interesting to me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, where sure. He's saying things like, hey, I don't become who I am without Scottie Pippen on this team.
Oh, and Pippen needs to have a massive amount of credit, right? He was an amazing player. He was good all-around player, right? And, you know, he's not like a top 10 player of all time, but he's probably top 20, right? And you get two top 20 guys on a team of all time, and they make each other better, right?
And he was top five in the league, at least, during that stretch of time when they won those championships.
During part of that time. By the end of it, he was not.
But you look at the cast of characters that rotated in and out of Chicago over that stretch, right? Like, your constants are Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you pick Paxson or Kerr, right? You needed a really good shooter, a couple of defensive guys, a big guy like Wennington or Cartwright, right? So you had kind of a formula. And Krauss deserves credit for putting together a good team around him, and Jackson deserves credit for coaching. But in the end, they won those championships because of Jordan and Pippen, not because of Phil Jackson and not because of Jerry Krauss.
It's not, the triangle isn't what did it.
No. I mean, the triangle is fine. It's not that it's bad or anything, and it certainly was helpful. But, I mean, Jordan and Pippen, you could have put them on the floor with much less coach than Jackson and get them to win a championship. I mean, heck, Look at some of the coaches LeBron has won with. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but yeah.
You don't need.
But LeBron's really the coach. He was the coach in Cleveland.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But anyway, so the Dream Team is one of my favorite topics of all time. We could do an entire episode about the Dream Team. But there was this graphic that was posted by ESPN, which was the 1992 Dream Team scrimmage. You know, the best basketball game nobody ever saw, right? And it's the, you know, in documentaries you watch about the Dream Team or the NBA and the history of the NBA, especially that time period before this docuseries, people talked about how it was the passing of the torch from Magic to Jordan, right? But here's the lineup that day, okay? Jordan's team is Jordan, Pippen, Bird, Malone, and Patrick Ewing. The other five are Magic, Chris Mullin, Christian Laettner, Barkley, and David Robinson. And I mean no disrespect to Chris Mullin and lots of disrespect to Christian Laettner. That's not fair. I mean,
well, Christian Laettner had really no business in that group.
Jordan had the better team. I mean, he was at that point a much better player than Johnson, as Magic was, you know, on the downside, right, of his career. And to be fair, also, Bird was not at his peak either. And even if you took everybody at their peak, right, if you took this game and did it, you know, with a time machine and did everybody at their peak, Jordan's team still wipes the floor with them, right? Like, you take Bird at his peak and Mullen at his peak, that's not close. And Christian Laettner at his peak doesn't, like, who does he match up with? And Malone was at a high level at that point, right? He was a beast. And obviously Robinson and Barkley were amazing. I just think, you know, he was playing with Mullen and Laettner. You know, I'm taking the Jordan team. I wish I could see that scrimmage though. It'd be amazing. Anyway, all right. Enough of that. College football season, we got a couple of similar questions. One is from Zachary Thornton at Coronado Zach on Twitter. Get your crystal ball out, boys, and tell us if we're having a football season. And then Randy Whittle on Facebook, and you can join the conversation on Facebook at facebook.com/risingshot. What are the odds that we play our full football schedule this year? After the Utah game, what would you consider the second most important or impactful game that we could win this year? We'll get to the second part of Randy's question here in a moment. Matt, are you in the mood to get out your crystal ball?
Yes.
Really? Okay.
Yes, I am.
All right. So what is the what are we having a college football season this year?
Will we have any football at all? Yes.
Will it look anything like a normal football season?
It'll be close.
Will they play just conference games plus one?
Something like that.
Yeah, see, I don't... Did you even listen to Matt Brown last week?
Yeah.
They're not going to do this conference plus one. They're not. I don't even understand why that's an advantage versus playing a full schedule.
The only reason people are talking about it that way, and maybe that's not the right way to describe it, is that you could theoretically delay the start of the season because most people are front-loaded with non-conference games. That's really what people are saying.
So what? Well, how does that help you? I don't understand how that helps. Like, in the end, none of us know what is going to happen with the virus and spikes and whatever else. You're delaying it for what? To give you more time to what? I just don't think this...
I don't think it's actually a thing. I'm not suggesting that is what should be done. I believe that's what will be done. And I don't think September is your problem. I think your problem is July and August. I think your problem is getting football players onto campus and getting them into shape to play football.
I think September is your problem because, you know, Matt and I talked about this on the other Matt, on the podcast last week, which was if their campuses are not open, they can't have football. There's no way they can pull off, hey, these guys are amateurs. We've got our campus shut down and nobody can come on it. But they're going to come play football, right? Like, you can't do that. So to me, that's what I'm saying. Like, if the campuses are shut down, there's not going to be a college football season in the fall. I think if they do have a shortened season, it's in the spring. If it's going to work in the fall, you just do the whole freaking season. You just start it out, right? And maybe you chop the first week off, but you can't chop much more off of it than that, right? Or financially, you're going to take a massive hit, right? Because a lot of these games are necessary for these programs to get money. And the conference games...
Well, especially for smaller programs that are playing a non-conference game against a big-time program, and they need that paycheck.
Oh yeah, it's a disaster for them if we go to this 9+1. For BYU, it's a bit of a disaster too, right? Because now you're going to have to cobble together a schedule with probably a game or two from the Pac-12, and then during their conference slate, and then playing every other independent, which might get us a game against Notre Dame, actually. Because Notre Dame's
but, and you might play somebody problem. Twice.
You might.
Because you're going to have another independent team or two that are going to have a hard time filling out their schedule and are going to be trying to get to 8 or 9 games.
Well, yeah, whatever the minimum is set for this year, right?
Right.
But I just think it really college football, it's not about football in college. It's not like the NFL. It's tied to all of these universities, 130 of them, by the way, and university presidents who can all decide what they want to do, or governors, depending on who owns the rights to open the universities or not, and what they decide to do, right? So what happens if the ACC goes to play and the University of North Carolina and Duke say, no, we're out. We're not going to have a college football team this year.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not the NFL. The NCAA cannot force schools to participate. Right? And if they even tried to, it'd be a terrible look.
No, and you're not going to do that if you're the NCAA. You're not going to do that.
Well, no. I mean, they caved when Duke or whomever else presidents came for the ACC tournament. The ACC did anyway, and then the NCAA followed and said, we're not playing. All right, they canceled the tournament, right? Again, this is an amateur sport. It's not a business, though we all know that's kind of a joke, right? But they still have to abide by some of that, right? Because they're connected to these universities. I have no idea. I have no crystal ball. I have no idea. I'm 0 for 100, I think, on COVID-19 predictions. So no need to predict. I think if they play, though, they're going to try to get in as many freaking games as they can, because otherwise they lose money, right?
I think they will, but it's all going to be about when they can get the kids in to start practicing, because they're going to want some period of time. I don't know if it's a month, they're going to need, right?
Otherwise you're risking injuries and whatever else. Yeah.
So if you can't get the kids on the campus till 2 weeks before school starts, you're not playing until the middle of September at least.
Yeah, and that makes sense. That's possible, but the 9+1, I think they might also just shorten conference schedules too.
Or they might just say, yeah, like you just keep your schedule after a certain date. You just keep your schedule. If you miss a conference game, we're just going to have to work around it.
Yeah.
We'll adjust the bylaws to pick the champion or whatever we're doing. They'll just have to figure out a way to work around it.
I mean, the Big 12.
But I think if it's at all possible, they're going to figure out how to play football in the fall. I think if it's at all possible.
Yeah, Big 12 is going to find out some random way to select a champion either way. Anyway, it's whoever most touchdowns.
We don't even need to play the games.
That's right. Oklahoma is the winner.
That's when he fakes. No, he thinks about faking.
That's right. So Randy's second part of his question was, after the Utah game, what would you consider the second most important, impactful game that they could win this year? Matt, you've got a second most important game on the schedule?
It's Minnesota.
Mm.
That might be the most important game on the schedule. Like in terms of impact, impact from a win. If that's the way I'm measuring important game on the schedule, that's the game.
Mm.
That they are so hot right now. It's on the road. It's early in the year.
Yeah.
You know, and that program's hot.
Yeah, I hear you, and you're probably right. I think Boise's the other one that could be the second most impactful. I think
Boise's in that group. But Boise's in that group, right? Utah, Boise State.
No,
these are the teams you're recruiting against.
Yeah, not Utah State. Utah State's not good enough, and they're not a national name.
I'm not saying I'm going to put Utah State on the list. I'm just pointing out that Boise State is on the group of teams that we're recruiting against, right?
Yeah.
So in terms of like strategic importance for the program, that Boise State game is big. Sure.
Yeah. So anyway, all right. So let's go back here to the agenda.
We'll go back in time.
We've got an email from Simon. I think this is Simon's third straight week in the tweet bag. Nice job there, buddy.
Go, Simon.
You can email the show at riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. Yeah, there we go. If you could choose 11 BYU players all time to start on offense at a football game, but they all play sports that are not football, who would you choose?
Jeez.
How about this? I'm going to simplify because I'm a simple man.
I got to come up with offensive linemen for this?
Yeah, yeah. We're not going to do linemen. I just want you to give me a quarterback, a running back, a wide receiver, and a tight end. Athletes that did not play football but played other sports at BYU.
Okay. So, all right, we're kind of doing this on the fly. Quarterback, running back, tight end.
Quarterback, running back, tight end, and wide receiver.
Okay.
All right. Okay. I'll go first. My quarterback, Danny Ainge. He's tall, can see over the line, incredible athlete. I don't know if he can throw the ball, but he's got incredible hand-eye coordination, so I'm going to go with Danny Ainge.
And I can't take Danny Ainge.
No, you can take Danny Ainge. It's not a draft. We're going to get to a draft here later where I'm going to destroy you. You don't have to do
it. So Danny Ainge is also who I would take at quarterback.
All right. Do you want to take the next person?
Sure. Sure, I do want to take the next person. And you know who I want? Let me look. I'm trying to make a decision between two guys. I'm going to take Kyle Collinsworth.
Oh, to play what position?
I'm going to play him at receiver. Yeah, I'm going to play him at receiver. He's big for a receiver, but I'm going to play him at receiver because I think I'm going to do something else at tight end.
So I had an idea, a unique idea at wide receiver, which is Ryan Millar.
See, I thought about that.
Just have Ainge throw it up to the very tall, high-jumping Ryan Millar, and I think that could be pretty interesting. All right. Kyle Collinsworth was on my short list. He's just a really good athlete, right? So you'd think there'd be something there. From a tight end perspective, I wanted to pick Kafusi, but he also played. But I'm going to cherry pick from your discussion last week and do Arujo as your tight end. Be a nasty blocking tight end.
Killing me, Smalls.
Araujo. I think I'm totally butchering his last name, but
you're killing me, Smalls.
But you can pick him too. It's not a
well. That's what I wanted. But this isn't fun if we're picking all the same guys.
Well, we didn't pick the same guy. We picked different wide receivers. Now it comes down to running back. Who do you got as running back?
See, I want to get away from basketball, but I'm having a hard time getting away from basketball because that's where all the athletes are.
I've got mine. It's not basketball.
Okay, you go first then. Who you got?
Corey Snyder.
BYU yes.
Baseball great. I think he was big enough. He'd probably have to bulk up a little bit. Really good athlete. He may have even played running back in high school. I bet I could look that up, but I think Corey Snyder would have been good. Of course, he went on to play in the majors, and that gives us two former Major League Baseball players on my squad with Ainge and Corey Snyder. But I think the basketball team has several guys that could probably fit in there.
Yeah, I think so. I think they could. The problem with the basketball team and a running back is that they're just all so tall.
Sure.
You know, and so that's the problem, right? So I want to take somebody who's speed and I think is also strong, right? So the guy that comes to mind for me is Charles Abuyo.
But he's so tall. But how tall is Abuyo?
6'5".
Oh, man. Yeah, that is.
But it's 6'5", 215. I mean, you almost play him at a tight end. I don't know, but he's a little undersized for that, right? But I feel like if you go outside of baseball, like you're going to be getting height. You get height at volleyball. You get height in basketball. Yeah. I've tried to look up, you know, a couple of track guys, but they're not big enough to. You're not going to run the ball with, you know.
Well, I mean,
with some of these cross country runners, right? Like Jared Ward.
I was trying to think
fast,
like,
over long distances, but like not a sprinter. So you go to some famous sprinters. I would almost grab. We've had some really fast, like Shay Collinsworth, who is Kyle's wife. I believe her maiden name is Shay Martinez. Very fast, right? Like, you put somebody like that out of receiver. Can I pick a female athlete?
Sure, why not? I mean, we're just doing this in theory. So,
but we've got some real speed on the track. Speed that I would put into my backfield.
I like a Abulio, and the height is a problem. I mean, Eric Dickerson was 6'3", and I don't know if there's a taller running back that I've ever watched who was really good. That's probably not true, but you know, and we're talking that Abulio is a couple inches probably taller than Dickerson. But I like Abulio as a pick because I think he's got a good combination of speed and power
that you want.
You know, yeah.
Well, and I think you get very good athletes out of basketball players. So they're typically in very good shape, and they can run for a long time.
So the tallest running back in the history of the NFL, according to this that I just found from a couple of years ago, so it's probably still true, is Brandon Jacobs at 6'4".
Hmm.
Huh. And the tallest wide receiver, by the way, is 6'8", Harold Carmichael for the Philadelphia Eagles. Huh. Interesting. As you say, it's not a tall position running back.
Oh yeah, it's tough. It's tough to be good and be that tall.
It's a leverage thing, right? And even Dickerson seemed weird. It seemed like he was too long, right, when he would run compared to other good running backs of his time period who were much, much shorter than he was. All right.
But you know what? Your Millar pick is really intriguing.
Oh, yeah. I love my Millar pick.
See, was I don't know. Yeah.
Great athlete. Just throw the ball up to Millar.
So now I'm thinking, you know, what? Who else do you got?
How tall is Millar? He's got to be 6'10". No, he's only 6'8". Millar was only 6'8".
He's only 6'8". But I think about, you know, some of the other guys that were on that volleyball team that I think were exceptional athletes. Ozzie Antonetti, he's at 6'1".
Yeah,
I don't know how much he weighed, but was he fast, right? Like, what's Ozzie's 40 time?
I don't know. That's the thing. It's hard to know with a volleyball player, right? They probably, some of them probably were quite fast, right? Just because how good athletes they are, but they don't have to be.
Yeah, so there might be some. There are probably some athletes in the volleyball program that you could consider for something like this, and definitely in
some track athletes that we just don't know, right? So, all right, that was a great question, Simon. Thank you for the question. Well, let's talk about our big why tonight. Is about return missionaries. So we don't know the impact of this yet, right? But there are a bunch of BYU football players, scholarship players and preferred walk-ons who are on missions today, some of whom have come home. And they might be temporarily home or they might be home, right? And one of them is named Jacob Conover. 4-star recruited quarterback. Was supposed to come back, I think, in 2021, right? Or I think...
yeah, I believe that's correct.
I think he'd be in time for spring ball next year. For example, and this is just an example of the chaos these returns could take, not to mention the scholarship headaches. And I wonder if the NCAA is going to grant some type of waiver for this. But I doubt it, because it only affects us and a few other, Utah and a couple of other schools with one or two athletes, right? BYU, it's of course like half the roster. But what happens to the BYU quarterback position if Conover is on the roster this fall? So let's pretend for a moment that the season remains the same, that there's no changes. It happens in roles, you know, forget the crystal ball stuff. He's on the squad. You've got three experienced guys who are all at that point juniors, right?
Yep.
We're all juniors. And in theory, Conover was going to be back for their senior years, and sit, right? And learn and recover after being gone for 2 years in a mission in Paraguay or wherever he was. Now, you're talking about juniors. Is Conover going to sit around for 2 seasons and wait for somebody and wait for these guys to graduate? 4-star recruit. And this is just one example of the chaos that's Kalani Sitake and his staff may have to deal with this fall and next spring as these folks come back from their mission. And what do you do with people that you weren't planning on playing football for you until 2021? Or in some cases, some of these people may decide not to go, and you didn't think you'd have them till 2022.
Well, and if you're like the Conover situation is interesting, right? Because if he shows up on campus in the fall, they're going to find room for him. But
Oh,
that might
yeah.
not be true for every kid whose mission was interrupted by COVID-19.
Well, it might not be true for some of the guys on the roster today if they want to
Right?
keep the guy that just got off.
Well, if they want to keep Conover, somebody's going to have to get off the bus, right?
Right? Unless,
Like.
like I said, unless the NCAA, but let's put it this way, Matt. We already said, we already believe that it's a three-way quarterback battle, right? I think Wilson's going to start game one.
Do Romney and Hall actually show up as sophomores this year?
No, I think they're, I don't know.
Okay. But
Where's the
that just,
roster?
but all that does, well,
But
on
that,
the website there, but
it's,
all that would do is add just another year to the problem if you're Conover, right?
Well, I mean, listen, nothing against Hall or Romney. If Conover's the real deal, he was always going to start in 2021. I mean, in 2022, regardless, right? One of those guys would have had to been unreal, which could happen. But if you don't recruit a 4-star guy anymore and have him sit there for a couple of years, that's not a
Right.
thing that happens anymore. They leave because some other program will say, "Hey, well, you can start next year." And in his case, it'll be a Pac-12 school or a Big Ten school or a Big 12 school, right? It's not going to be Utah State, right? This is he'll have opportunities, and that's pretty much the problem that's the problem for BYU in this case. And again, injuries, as we've seen in the last few years, are what changes everything, right? But we're talking three quarterbacks. We're not talking one. We're talking three, right? And that's the part that's like kind of off the charts is you don't know. That's a lot of good quarterbacks. I mean, it's a good problem to have, right? If you have four quarterbacks that could be D1 starters on your roster.
Right,
So
there's
Hall and
worse
Romney,
problems to
you're
have,
right.
for sure.
They're both sophomores. But Wilson's a junior. So it the log jam gets worse. And again, that's just one example. Some other positions like tight end could get way better if Holker comes back, right? If he decided not to go back or whatever else. So you could see some positions where it's not a problem, right? It's not a competition thing. It's just you get better players than what maybe is on the roster today. But to your point, that also creates, well, what do you do with this other scholarship guy? I don't know. It's going to be a crazy time for them. So we're going to end with our game today, which is given to us by Justin Sweeney.
Sweeney.
That's at Justin D. Sweeney on the Twitter. He says, once
The Twitter.
again, what day is it? Hashtag TweetBag. It's
Nobody
Tuesday.
knows.
No, it's Tuesday. It's Tuesday, May
It's
5th. We
Blur's
know what day
Day.
it is. It's Blur's Day. We know what day it is. Check your calendar. It's on your phone, Justin. It's right there. I know it's tough, though. Every day does start to feel the same. Our daughter came Saturday morning up dressed for church. And we're like, it's not Sunday. Do you guys dress up? Are you guys dressing up at all? Or are you guys just going cash? I know people are doing it both ways.
So
No judgment.
we've done a mix. I've typically put on a tie.
Slacks,
My
and then a tie, but over a t-shirt. So that kind of mix, or.
No, I'll put on a dress shirt and a tie, for when we're doing church stuff on Sunday. Now, if I've got like other meetings and things, which I've typically had, I'll leave it on for that. So for most of the day, I'm usually in something kind of churchy. And then my oldest son, for when we're doing church stuff, he'll also put on church clothes. Now, but the other kids, we've kind of just let them do it. Last week, though, we decided to have everybody, we wanted to have everybody dress up last Sunday. Just to mix it up a little bit, really, more than anything. But we've gone back and forth. I think that everybody's going to kind of do it their own way. We've not been, I mean, you've been in my home. We're not always super formal. So, so that's the way it's worked for us.
Yeah, we get dressed up. But anyway, she came up on Saturday and was very disappointed when, she's like, "What? Saturday? Sorry, kid." It's, they all blend together. All right. So he says, Snake Draft, best 10 Netflix, Hulu, etc. shows currently being shown. Give us some ideas. It seems like a plea from him. Hashtag tweetbag. I'm going to tweak his question a little bit. They don't have to be on Netflix or Hulu, though he said, etc. Just pick TV series, and they need to be something that somebody can access today through some streaming service or YouTube or something.
Okay, I got you.
All right, so Snake Draft, I'm magnanimous. I give you the first pick.
With the first pick, and these are only TV shows. We're only taking series. Not we're not doing movies.
Nope. And think of it this way. When we get done, we're going to compare my five versus your five as, you know, these are the only five series that you would have to watch during this time of social isolation. And at the end, we'll decide whose is better. Set of five, and I will be crowned the champion as usual when we do these things. But anyway, go ahead with your pick.
Makes sense. All right, so with my first pick, I'm taking Sherlock.
Sherlock, that's an interesting first pick. That's a good one.
It's an old series, but I'm watching it for the first time and thoroughly enjoying it.
And they're kind of like movies. They're like mini movies because they're not like 45 minutes, hour long.
They're long episodes.
Yeah, the episodes are long. It's a good series. Good pick. Not as good as my pick.
What do you got?
With the second pick, and I get the second and the third because it's the Snake Draft, I'm going to take The Office, which is currently streaming on the Netflix machine, and I will take that with my third pick. I will go a little bit more serious with my second pick, the overall third pick, and I'm going to go with 20 seasons of Survivor. If you've never watched the show, you can go back and watch these. You won't even know who's going to win. And this season, by the way, it's amazing. Do you watch Survivor? Have you ever watched Survivor?
I used to watch Survivor.
It's all people that won the show.
I have not watched it in many, many seasons.
Boston Rob is on the show. That's all you need to know. All right, go ahead. Your second pick and your third pick.
My second pick and my third pick. Now, I'm not taking picks that I'm worried about you taking. I'm just listing the stuff that I've enjoyed watching. I'm going to go with... Actually, you know what? I'm going to take this one now. Actually, it doesn't matter what order I take them because I get two picks right now because it's a snake draft.
It's a snake draft.
Man, there's a lot of talking. A lot of talking and not picking.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to do them in this order. I'm going to go with The Toys That Made Us.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah. I've only watched two episodes of it. I watched the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and we watched the Barbie episode.
All right.
But that show is awesome.
That's a good choice. Solid choice.
And the other one I'm going to go with is an oldie, but a goodie, Arrested Development.
Okay. All right.
That's the one I was worried you might take.
Coming back to me, I probably would not have, but I do enjoy that series quite a bit. Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I'm going to come back with a second comedy. You should have taken it.
Nuts.
I took the wrong comedy.
I took the wrong one.
I was waiting for you to say Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and I was like, please don't say Brooklyn Nine-Nine. So I'll take Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And then coming back for my fourth overall pick, one that you're not going to pick, but I'm just going to take it here anyway, is Daredevil. One and season three are just really good. Season two is fine too. Has some good stuff to it, but season one and season three, this last season, it makes me sad that they're not continuing the series He is an amazing Daredevil. It's a dark show, though, so do not not for the fam, not for the fam. But go ahead, you got one more pick left.
So we've exhausted shows that I'm really at all watching right now, with your selection of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. So I'm just digging into the bag, and we'll, you know, other than thinking of shows that I've generally enjoyed. You know, I'm gonna go with Stranger Things.
Stranger Things, you took my last one. Nice job.
It's a good show. It's a great show. I've not watched it in a while, but I've not watched a ton of Arrested Development, in full disclosure. But Brooklyn Nine-Nine, man, I can't believe I let Brooklyn Nine-Nine get away.
Yeah, I can't believe you did either. I almost picked it instead of The Office up front, because I thought The Office might come back to me in my next picks. I didn't think Brooklyn Nine-Nine would. But anyway, my last pick, I considered many things. I have many things on my list. I'll name a few of them. Obviously, any of the Star Trek series could be on my list as a massive geek. I really considered The Mandalorian, but with only one season, as good as that one season is, until season 2 is out later this year, I'd hesitate to put it on the list. There's just not quite enough content.
There's not enough there.
Yeah, if you're going to be stuck. But it was a great first season. Seinfeld, which I don't – can you stream it anywhere right now? Or is it off until the Peacock comes around?
I'm not sure.
I considered Seinfeld, but when I watch those episodes now, it's not as good to me anymore. It feels dated now. In a way that, say, The Office doesn't, because obviously The Office is a little bit more recent. But I'm going to take with my final pick in this draft a show that, you know, I don't know how much you like these shows or not, but I'm going to take, and you can get it on the Peacock now, is the original Law & Order.
Oh, yeah.
You got tons of seasons. Great shows, differing characters. It's not new, but that's okay to me. I mean, I've got nothing in my list is hot and new right now, because, like I said, with The Mandalorian, I got to wait till there's multiple seasons. There's a couple of shows I want to get into that I haven't watched at all yet, which is The Expanse. I want to see that one. Do you know that one?
Sci-fi. I don't even know
what that is. Yeah, it's a sci-fi, like, in the future, we've expanded across the solar system. It's based on a best-selling book series. I would like to see that one. I have not done that yet. So that's another one that I might try to get to. So anyway, all right. Well, that's our game for today.
All right. Happy viewing, everybody.
Happy viewing. And the thing is, I don't know that we gave Justin what he needed, because he's probably looking for things he hasn't seen. And
these are all shows that everybody's already watching. And we're not going to talk about Tiger King.
No, I'm not interested in Tiger King or Love is Blind. Sorry, Justin. I know that's your favorite show. But
well, he probably already has watched all of it. So
yeah,
that's it's a moot point anyway.
That's a good point. And The Notebook is not a TV series, so we can't recommend that either.
That's the only reason we're not recommending it.
I am disappointed. I didn't hear from Keith this week about whether we were talking about The Notebook or the Old Testament last week. I still am not 100% sure what he was referencing. I think
he likes to leave us in suspense.
Yeah, or maybe he just didn't listen last week. I think.
Or maybe he's like, I'm going to stop talking to these guys because they're just making fun of every attempt I make to contribute.
No, I don't think you know Keith well enough. I don't think that will bother him at all.
Not the sensitive type. I don't know. He watches The Notebook type a lot, so I kind of took him.
It's
for
true. I mean, he's got
a certain level of sensitivity.
Yeah, he's got some level of that for sure. Well, thanks everybody for downloading and listening. Of course, if you want to contribute to the show, you can do so at patreon.com/riseandshout. We will be off next week, taking a week off, but back in 2 weeks to talk about what. I have no idea, but something. We'll find it. We'll find the topics. You'll send us stuff. So thanks for everyone for downloading and listening. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars!